This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And away we go. Tuesday, May the 16th, 2023. D and R with you on 98.7 ESPN. This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Mets might stink. Yankees looked terrific yesterday. Knicks are obviously still done. Ja Morant is Ja Morant. And I say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Why are you in such a good mood right now?
I don't know. Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
You want to know why?
I think we know why. You shouldn't be.
Well, you know what? Don't get into my psyche.
I want to get right into your psyche.
You want to know why? Because I found a great spot on the street.
Of course you did.
I'm going to die right after the Giants win their next Super Bowl.
a beautiful, gorgeous spot right on the street.
Did you take a picture of it?
No, I'm not a psychotic.
Because Dan Grasso.
Takes pictures.
Glamour shots.
I do not. In fact, I felt badly, and I feel badly even bragging about the spot that I found. Found a gorgeous spot on the street. Did the walk from the car to the hydrant, make sure we're more than 15 feet away, 17 feet. Beautiful. And I walk in, and who do I see out in the yonder? Who is that? That's Raymond Santiago. Well, why is Ray getting here so late? I said, what happened to you? Looking for a spot, 40 minutes, can't find a spot. Very frustrated. I said, well, I found a spot.
Tuesday.
Tuesday's tough.
You guys always talk about Tuesdays.
Tuesday's a very tough day.
I think you just put it in the lot.
But I found a spot on the street.
Well, you did. But yeah. I mean, Raymond, like 25, come on, 30 minutes, right in the lot.
Yeah, I understand. But now Ray's monetary contribution to this, you know, getting into work today winds up being like $30, $35. That's a lot of money.
Well, maybe you reimburse him because you feel bad.
Why would I reimburse him?
Because you feel bad.
Well, yeah, I reimbursed him in fruit.
It is a good-looking pineapple.
I brought a beautiful pineapple. And it's amazing. The way I'm treated on the show, by the way, we're all back together. RJ's here. He's back from his wild times in Arizona with God knows what happened out there.
A lot of seltzers. Party. I mean, he had a good time.
I mean, he had a great time. But the band is back together, which is nice.
Of course. It's always nice. I mean, the show isn't the show unless all four of us are together. I just wish you would have told me, like, hey, heads up, I'm bringing the pineapple today.
Well, I didn't know I was going to bring the pineapple because I didn't know I was going to find such a great spot. Had I not found
a great
spot.
Well, today would have been a good grape day.
I can't win. Well, here's the thing.
Fine.
I can't win.
I'll hack it up.
I bring in, it's a beautiful, I even went over to the guy.
Did you sniff it?
I went over to the guy with three pineapples. I said, which is the one I want? I said, I think it's this one. He goes, that one.
You were right. Oh,
yeah. And I was like, yes.
Oh, good.
I was right. So, I mean, I bring in the fruit with love.
No, I know, with love. Then I'm the one that has to hack that thing up with a plastic knife.
Well, why don't we just leave a serrated knife here?
Well, because probably a good idea. Maybe I will. Today wasn't a day that I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring in a knife.
Okay. But if we bring in the knife and leave the
and
knife,
leave it.
Now we have the knife.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. And there we go.
All right, done.
How are you?
I've been better.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been better.
Down on the Mets?
Very down on the Mets. My GPS tried to make my life miserable today, but I battled through it.
Sent you a
they sent me the wrong
way.
Yeah, because I like to stay away from the Cross Bronx.
Right.
For some reason, it sent me on the Cross Bronx.
But you know how to go.
Stay right on the IE,
right through the city, right through the tunnel.
No, but it said this was the fastest route. And I was like, you know what? This can't be right.
Cross Bronx never the fastest route.
I trusted
route.
It. Because I usually go, you know how I like to head Koch.
Yeah. Yes.
But I didn't. I trusted it.
So you went Cross Bronx.
Yeah.
Tons of traffic.
Right. Good. Right. Flew right in, took the Ed Koch. Right. It was good. Then all of a sudden, I get to where they have the beautiful merge where all the 18-wheelers have to come all the way across. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there.
And then
jammed up.
Dead stuck.
Jammed
still,
right up.
Still were here before me.
Always.
Yeah. Have I ever? I don't think I've ever once gotten here before him.
Not one time.
Not one time.
Not one
you think
single time.
Ever, you think at any point, if I ever get here before you, we should do it like a wellness check on you.
Yeah, well, you have to find like send out a search for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to be here early.
What time do you get here?
Like 5-ish.
Ugh.
Yeah. We need to, ugh.
That's very early.
Yeah, but RJ's by himself. I want to keep him company.
And Ray walked in with me.
Yeah, I chatted him up.
Yeah?
Got the found details of the bachelor party. Oh, yeah.
That's good why time. You got here extra early. You wanted to find out the salaciousness of the bachelor
naked
party.
Naked ladies.
This is RJ's last hurrah.
Were there naked ladies, RJ? Oh. Did you see Rawr! Women without clothing?
I did not. Uh-huh. Even if I had, why would I tell you that? But no, I did not.
Because we're friends.
Woohoo! Yeah. Over here!
Because we're friends and everyone else listening.
No, absolutely not.
All of Angie's friends want to know, did you see naked ladies?
You think Angie's friends are dialed in at 6:05?
How about this, though? This is the best part.
I think everyone's dialed in.
So RJ's on the plane right home.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a bit hungover, hadn't slept much.
I think so.
So plane, he's got a guy sitting next to him whose phone alarm is going off. He can't hear it because he's sleeping. A woman who's taking her shoes off.
Oh, those are the worst.
And then someone with a hyperactive cat that's meowing the entire time.
A cat?
Yep.
Two cats.
Who's the cat now?
Oh my God.
It was you.
Oh my God.
Because here's the sequence.
Can I say something seriously, though? This is like totally legitimate.
Mm.
And you guys are going to laugh at me, whatever. I'm highly allergic to cats.
They're in the carriers.
Doesn't matter. That dander starts getting up in the air.
Yeah, once the dander gets into the air, now I'm going to have trouble breathing. So now I should have to have trouble breathing because this person can't travel without numerous cats?
What about
a bald cat? God bless you.
I love the bald cat. Yeah.
Yeah, the sequence of events. So, I mean, there's like three rows up, there's a crying baby. I was like, oh, you know.
But that's 3 months away from you.
Yeah,
right?
I'll be that person. So, you know, the baby, and the baby was great for the other 4 hours, you know, 15, 20 minutes, fine. And the woman next to me. All right. Yeah, you can take your seatbelt off. She takes her shoes off. There's no shoes.
Left
sign.
Her socks on, though?
Yes.
All right.
But
you want to tussle?
So finally, I kind of lean my head back right behind me. I hear beeping. I'm like, what on earth is that? I finally figured out it's that guy. He's just knocked out. Couldn't be more fast asleep. And so finally,
and his alarm is just blaring.
Finally, I was doing the uncomfortable kind of peek around. Finally, someone says something. All right, finally, I'm going to, you know, catch a half hour, hour's worth of sleep. Meow. Meow. I'm like, what are we doing? What is wrong with you people?
What kind of airline were you flying?
American.
It sounds like Spirit. It really
does.
Yeah,
it sounds like some kind of knockoff
sounds
airline.
Sounds like a mess.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It was.
This is why you need to sleep with your phone right under the pillow.
It's not
this
good.
Is why?
That would have woke right
it's
up.
It's not good that the American experience is like this now. Not good at all.
It's not great.
The actual flight was great. I have problems with the patrons.
That's terrible. You know what else is terrible?
The Mets?
Mets.
Yeah.
Terrible. Really. I'm at the point, I'm almost resigned to this is going to be a bad season. Because every time you win a game, I mean, here's the thing, and I was thinking about this. Seriously now. What do the Mets do well? What? Do you look
currently,
at the Mets and say their starting pitching is really good?
No.
Do you look at the Mets and say, their lineup good?
Right now, no.
So what do the Mets do well? Do they field great? No.
Yesterday they didn't.
So what do they do well? Maybe we shouldn't even be surprised that they're losing these games.
Oh, I think we should be surprised.
Really?
When you spend the amount of money the Mets spent, and I mean, they won 101 games last year, and it's pretty much the same team. It's the same lineup. Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, you talk about a team they've lost, and I was writing these numbers down this morning. And I was like, really? 9 of the last 13, 15 of the last 21. They're 0-5-2 in their last 7 series. Here's the best one. They have not hit a home run in 52 innings.
Which is amazing.
52.
And it's exactly what we said. They don't have a lot of power outside of Pete Alonso. 52 innings is what? That's 6 games. They haven't hit a home run in 6 games. That's unheard of.
Yeah, they're station to station. They have to get on base. They have to string hits together. They have to get big hits with runners in scoring position. They have to field well because they're not scoring runs,
right,
which they haven't done.
Peterson is god-awful.
Bad.
McGill's not great.
Got to stop giving up runs in the first inning.
I was listening to the game on the radio yesterday. It's like the first inning runs are what, like 37-9 or something?
37-9. Yep.
I mean, you're minus 28 runs scored, runs allowed in the first inning. So again, I ask you, what do you do? What are you good at right
currently
now?
Currently nothing.
Mets? Nothing.
No, I mean, currently nothing. Yeah, your only hope today is that Justin Verlander goes out and is an ace.
That's right.
And
even if he is, there's a decent chance you're going to put up 2 runs.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him.
Against Jalen Beeks.
Is that who's pitching tonight?
That's what I saw.
Yeah.
You're not going tonight, are you?
No, I'm supposed to go tomorrow. They had a TBD for their... I'm going to see Senga, who's going to pitch for the Mets.
Nice.
And then they don't have anyone listed, or didn't yesterday when I looked, for Tampa.
What Doesn't matter. They could pick a guy at 6:30 yeah, right. and go
doesn't
out
matter.
There and throw four.
I know, but I wanted to see, you know,
you want to see, yeah,
get myself excited for the game.
Yeah.
But it's tough to get myself excited for the Mets right now. I mean, you had, and that's the frustrating part too, though, man. I mean, and I get it. It's tough when you're losing, you're not hitting. But like, I mean, the throw to second by Alvarez gets by McNeil, run scores. Then you had the misplay between Nimmo and Marte in right field. I mean, that ends up in a triple, run scores. You get Alvarez getting picked off of first, the bases loaded and Nimmo up.
Which is unbelievable.
Well, I don't know if I mean, here's the thing with that. I mean, that's, you're getting your secondary lead. You're kind of relying on the first base coach, who's Wayne Kirby, to be your eyes to see if Dom Smith is breaking. And he didn't do a very good job because if you watch the clip, and I watched it a couple different times, Wayne Kirby, the first base coach, is looking at Alvarez as opposed to looking at what Dom Smith was doing. But there's, you're right, there's no excuse for that
there's
to happen.
No excuse. What's the point? Like, what is the point? It's not, it's not like it's a one-run game and
well, you're going to try to score on a double.
Sure.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, but still, no, you're not wrong. I mean, there's no excuse for it. I mean, both guys are to blame. Alvarez is to blame, and the first base coach is to blame.
You're not good enough to make mistakes like
right.
that.
That's the problem.
You don't score runs.
No.
You don't shut the other team down. I mean, I told you.
You get no length from your starters.
David Peterson is just, I mean, have you seen enough?
I think I've seen enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
I mean, it's. I think Buck has probably seen enough, too. But remember, they sent him down.
I know.
And said, you got to find a way to pitch better, and he hasn't pitched better.
But what are you supposed to do? You don't have anybody.
No. And then Hunter comes in, and he was no better. So, yeah, I mean, they got a lot of problems right now. And I think you just hit it right on the head. What do they do well? Currently, not a lot.
All right. So I mean, I'm led to believe that you're just going to see more of this. Unless Verlander goes out tonight and gives you a gem, you're going to see the Mets, more times than not, going out and giving you a product that's similar to this.
See, I have a hard time believing that. I mean, that's what it feels like right now, but you're still talking about the same guys. It's the same guys. I mean, I've seen Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor and Nimmo, and, you know, Marte had another two hits, so hopefully he's kind of figured it out. McNeil won the batting title. Like, you got good players.
Oh, there's no doubt that there's talent on the team, but again, your starting pitching might be mediocre. I'm not saying it is.
No, but it hasn't been good.
But it might be mediocre. Your bullpen is fine. You don't hit for power. You just told me they haven't had a home run in 50-something innings.
52.
I mean, again, it's just like there's gaping, glaring holes on this team right now.
There is. But, I mean, you just mentioned the starting pitching. That was supposed to be one of the strengths of this team, and it's not. And because it's not, and because you're not getting any length, it's going to start chipping away at your bullpen. You can't keep putting this much pressure on your bullpen. And on top of that, I mean, the lineup strength was the top of it. Was Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, and Alonso, and McNeil. And, you know, right now, like I said, hopefully Marte's starting to figure it out. Like, he's not supposed to be batting sixth in this lineup. He's supposed to be batting second.
Sure.
But those guys got to, I mean, they have to find a way. Pete, I think Pete probably realizes it. I'm sure he does. That he's really the only guy on this team.
That's it. A lot of pressure on that,
That's
though.
A power threat.
I mean, they batted, and I know you know that Tommy Pham batted fourth yesterday.
No, he had good numbers against Corbin.
I said
the exact same thing, and then I saw his numbers against Corbin.
I get it, but it's just, if you're the other team and you see Tommy Pham batting fourth, I understand good numbers against Corbin. It's just, I don't know, it's just glaring. And as bad as it's been egregious. Like,
it's been
bad. Awful. They are currently half a game out of a wild card
right.
spot.
Right, so I mean, that's why you can't just wash your hands of this team yet.
No, I agree with that, but at some point it has to change.
Yeah.
And we keep saying, it's early. Don't worry, it's early. It's April 25th. It's May 6th. Like, at what point is it not early? We're 2 weeks away from saying it's not early. Is that fair?
June 1,
it's not early anymore.
Well, it depends on what the other team's doing, too. I mean, you just said it. They're, what, a half game out of a wild card
Correct.
Right now? And they're two games under 500?
Just kind of pathetic.
But the thing with baseball is, I mean, it's... Yeah, I know it sounds so cliche, but the back of the baseball card, this is why you bring in a bunch of veteran guys. Because there's a track record, one way or the other. And you got a bunch of guys on this team that have a track record of success. You saw them do it last year. Now, was last year just one of those real special years?
Could be.
It might be, but still, you would expect at some point that they're all going to kind of come back to what they should be.
You know who they miss? You know who they miss? Chris Bassett.
Made a decision not to
Chris
bring back
Bassett
Chris
was
Bassett.
Good.
He was a bulldog for us.
He was not great. He was not an ace, but Chris Bassett, as your third starter, was really good.
Yeah, he was really good. He ate a bunch of innings. But, I mean, they made that decision.
All right, well, you know what? As we sit here on May 16th, I would tell you that I think Billy Epler is, in my mind, probably a bad general manager.
He has not done a good job.
To spend that kind of money and have that kind of leeway to do almost whatever you want and to put this kind of team together is... It's a shame is what it is.
Yeah, you expect better results than the amount of money being spent.
I mean, if I'm Steve Cohen and you're spending 300 and God knows how many million dollars.
Yeah, but I don't
even
know if you can. I mean, Steve Cohen's part of this, though. I mean, Steve Cohen's signing off on all these moves.
But Steve Cohen doesn't sit there and say, like, okay, so we move on from Bassett, we bring in Jose Quintana. Like, Steve Cohen's not in the weeds like that.
No, I'm not talking about those moves. Like, I mean, you could point to that move, but I'm talking about, like, spending the $43 million on Scherzer at his
age.
Or the $43 million on Verlander at his age.
Correct.
Those kind of decisions.
Right.
But the other money being spent is all money that Mets fans wanted to be spent.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But it's just to spend that kind of money and have that kind of these are glaring holes on this team. They don't have any power on this team.
We have no power. We knew that. But
I mean Vogelbach stinks. He stinks.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. But you also have to have the guys. I mean, I just said it. Like, if I asked you before the season started, the Mets team will have success if you would say Scherzer and Verlander
absolutely
are aces.
Yep.
And then if the top of your lineup,
Lindor and McNeil and
so those
and
guys,
Marte,
I mean, they know what they need to do.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is every day it feels like it's just more of the same, you know. And then every once in a while you'll win a game, you're like, oh, there it is. And then the next day you go right back.
It was really
to,
one inning. I mean, if you really think about it, it was one inning.
One inning.
Yeah.
It was a terrible, terrible weekend against Washington.
It was a
you
productive
went 2-2. But
terrible
weekend.
This was supposed to be the easier part of your schedule.
And you went 0-5-2 in these seven series.
Yeah, but you were 4-9 in these 13 games.
Terrible. That's terrible.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't buy the story that he was glancing over because his teammates were chirping. I don't buy that.
Why would you need to glance?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be why your parents give you kind of that look, like your mom gives you that look, like, stop it.
But right.
I don't think that's what it was.
And he started it, and then you heard, well, he did it because Boone came out and they were so upset and they were chirping, and then but he did it before there were even any pitches thrown. He was looking into the dugout.
I love, by the way, when Boone comes out and loses his mind. It might be one of my favorite things in sports.
It's great. He threw his gum.
Oh.
He was so angry.
You've been horse bleep. You suck. I loved it.
And players must love it, too.
Of course they love it. I mean, remember, that's the whole savages in the box thing, right? Like, sometimes you got to go defend your players. And that was an awful strike call on Judge. Awful.
The second one.
Awful.
Terrible.
Here's the thing. I mean, the climate in baseball, it's to a point now with, I mean, even with Scherzer with the sticky stuff and everything else, it's, you feel like everyone's trying to get an edge somehow. And, I mean, was it a case where he was tipping his pitches and someone in the dugout or even Anthony Rizzo on deck was picking something up and kind of tipping him off? So he was taking a glance? But there is no chance. Was he cheating? I don't know how you want to define cheating. Is it gamesmanship? I don't know in baseball because it's this gray area. Like, there are all these teams doing, you know, picking up signs, but, you know, Houston was cheating because they now took it to a level with the banging of the trash cans and everything else that you didn't have to get to second base to, you know, to tip off the hitter or whatever it was. But, I mean, there is no chance that I believe for a second that mid at bat, with the kind of nastiness that Major League Baseball players are facing, that he's taking the time to glance over at the dugout to send them a message that he doesn't appreciate them chirping. Come on.
It's weird.
You believe that?
No, I don't believe it. But so then let me ask you this. Do you believe that the Yankees were cheating?
I don't think it's cheating, no.
Do you believe the Yankees were stealing signs and trying to get them to Aaron
or
Judge?
Or maybe they picked something up. There was some kind of tell.
Okay. But that's not like a father glaring at his kid who acts out at school and saying,
No,
cut it out.
I don't believe that. No, I can't imagine that during in the midst of an at bat that's you're paying so much attention to what's going on in dugout that you're giving, as the captain, you're giving this look like, come on, guys, enough. Mid at bat, no chance.
It's weird. You want to hear the Jays broadcast? Because they picked right up on it.
I listened to it. Yeah, I want to hear it. Yeah,
here's the Jays broadcast from the game last night when Judge was doing a little peeky-peeky.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did each other at the same moment right when we saw this three pitches ago.
Watch what he's looking at.
Yeah. What is that?
Where's he looking?
Where's he looking? And he did it more than once.
Yeah. It's really, really unusual. But you and I both looked at each other when we saw that.
Like, did you see what I saw?
Yeah.
And you don't want to go, you know, throwing allegations around without knowing, but.
No. And you know what? I have had guys look back when I was catching, and you obviously could see it, and he couldn't see the catcher with the way he was looking right there.
Yeah, just did it again. And he pummeled it. He hit it a country mile for his second home run of the night.
462 feet. Bomb. Right. Bomb.
Bomb.
Yeah.
One of the furthest home runs I've ever seen hit.
And he had a great day.
He's great.
A couple home runs, on base five times. Yeah, he's awesome.
He's absolutely awesome.
See, I don't think it's cheating, though. Maybe that's where I'm different. I don't think that's cheating. Like, there's, for some reason, this thought that you need to earn the ability to when you steal signs, it's like you need to, it's fine if you earn it, which means if the guy at second base has now reached second base, can look in with the hitter and they can try to steal,
I have no issue with that either. If you can look and pick up the other team's signs by just watching it, I think it's fair game.
I do too. But there was this thought, though. What I'm saying is there was this thought that everyone's doing it. Remember, like, the talk was, and Carlos Beltran was great at it.
Sure.
And even remember when Joey Cora was talking about when Beltran signed with was brought on by the Yankees, and he kind of insinuated that...
Alex Cora,
the coach of the Red Sox.
Yeah.
That's why
they brought him on. Yeah.
What an acquisition that was going to be. But there's like this thought that it's not cheating if it's done by the runner at second base because he's actually reached base and now you can use that to your advantage, as opposed to, like, if I'm Aaron Judge, I'm standing there and I'm good enough where I can take my eyes off the pitcher and glance over at whoever it was. Maybe it was Rizzo. I mean, the way you look at his eyes, maybe it was Rizzo in the batter's box, in the on deck circle,
yep.
And they're picking something up. Like, damn right I'm going to.
I don't have a problem with it either. But I guess the question is, at what point, when do you cross the line, right? Because there's a floating line of what's allowable and what's not.
I think when you start using technology is the line.
All right, so you're using Apple Watches, you've crossed the line. You're banging on trash cans, and guys are hearing how hard you're banging or what rhythm you're banging, and now they know fastball or curveball. That's crossing the line. I think looking in and be able to figure out in any way that what they're doing, I have zero problem with it. But I just... You know, this is going to be a thing now. It's going to be a big thing today.
It's going to be a big thing.
And Aaron Judge was cheating. And
yeah, it'll be a
cheating.
Big story today, but it's going to be a big... I mean, now everyone's going to be paying attention to it. Like, there'll be a focus, especially when he's on the road, of where Aaron Judge's eyes are going.
That's right. But here's the thing, and I don't understand this. If the Yankees stole the sign, if they picked up the signs, if they're watching the same game we're watching, and they're able to pick up the signs, and they relay that to Aaron Judge, what is wrong with that? That is my
question. I don't think anything is wrong with it. I personally don't. I would always find myself asking before the whole Houston Astros thing happened why more teams didn't do that. Because I've been in a major league clubhouse. I see how many guys are just, like, between the coaching staff and everything else. You have idle time.
Right, but guys wearing buzzers on their chest.
That's different.
Now you've crossed the line.
Right.
But you're going to hear this all day today, that people are going to be very bothered. And again, I stand by, I don't understand why. What did Aaron Judge do? If that's what they were doing, if the Yankees figured out the signs last night and they were somehow getting them back to Aaron Judge, so what? Why is that a bad thing? That's kind of what you've dealt with in baseball forever. Change your signs. Be better.
Well, because there's no real black and whiteness. It's when you choose for yourself personally or the broadcasters, whoever else it is, that you decide you want it to be cheating.
Right. The only thing I'll say is if it were Vladimir Guerrero peering into the dugout, I think that Yankee fans today would be calling nonstop saying they're cheating.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I mean, it depends on what your idea of cheating is. Is it gamesmanship or is it cheating? Is it? I mean, it's anyone you talk to in baseball. I mean, there are guys that are just really good at it. It's an acquired skill. Like, guys will study pitchers and find whatever they're doing. And if you can get just the slightest advantage, knowing how good these pitchers are,
right,
you're going to take advantage.
I mean, in high school baseball, a couple weeks ago, they figured out the signs of the other team, and every time a player would go up to bat, if the kid said the last name, like, all right, come on, Rothenberg, you know it's going to be a fastball. Right. So
we do the same thing in men's league baseball. Like, if you notice, I mean, first guy up or second, whatever it is, of an inning, notices the guy's doing something. Like, if he has a thing behind his back where he moves his hand or he gets the ball in his glove,
right,
and you can see him do, it's a curveball, whatever it is, you know, you tell the guys, he'll look for this if you see it.
But I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I think it's smart baseball. If I can somehow, with my own eyes, watch the game and figure out what you're doing and relay that to my team, that's smart baseball. It's not stupid. That's not cheating.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't think it's cheating at all. I just don't. I don't buy the excuse.
But why not? What would you even be so off? I know you don't want to say.
Well, you know why?
Yeah, I know. But if you said we figured out
selective
the signs.
Outrage,
we figured out the signs.
Well, because it's selective outrage. Because now all of a sudden it becomes a big deal, and now people get to decide whether or not they think it's cheating. Like the Astros.
Yeah, you're right.
Listen, I'm not defending the Astros, but they went through the same thing. In the Astros' mind, they were just doing it better than everyone else.
Yeah, but I agree. When you now incorporate technology. And guys can't take their shirts off
But everyone at the time was using technology. And it came out that you better stop, and they didn't stop. They just took what they thought everyone was doing.
Right.
And I'm sure there were players from different teams that were kind of giving their input as to what was happening around the league. And they said, well, if they're doing it like this, here's the way we can do it better. So for them, they didn't, like, there was no clear line. And then we decided, and everyone decided, that they took it too far. And so now they're cheaters.
Correct. And that will never go away.
And Aaron Judge does not want to be known as a cheater. So he's not going to sit there and admit, hey, you know, Riz picked something up. So I was kind of glancing over.
But I stand by, there's nothing wrong with it. There is absolutely, if Rizzo
picked
something.
Well, for you, for me.
But you think there are legitimate baseball
fans? Did it sound like the broadcasters were happy with it?
It didn't sound like they were happy with it.
Okay, are we
going
to take
but
phone
it also,
calls
you
today?
Don't know what they thought was actually going on, like what extent and what degree.
What could they think was going on? What could they think was going on?
Well, do you have a guy in center field who's watching the signs, who's got binoculars? Like, there's different levels of what they could be doing.
See, that's the problem, though, too, is that there's always this thought now because, you know, you found out that the Astros were doing it and teams have been doing stuff like this. There's that, you know, fear that people are going to start doing it again.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Do you believe that the Yankees were cheating?
I don't think it's cheating, no.
Where is he looking? And he did it more than once.
Yeah. It's really, really unusual.
Maybe they pick something up. There's some kind of tell.
And he pummeled it.
Why was he glancing over like that?
There was some chirping going from our side. Judgey was kind of looking over like, I'm hitting here.
I said a couple things to some guys in the dugout, and especially after the game. Hopefully it won't happen again.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Aaron Judge doing some peeky-peeky.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, he found what he was looking for. And he hit it 400 and... Was it 62 or 67?
It says 462.
I thought I'd seen 467. But whatever it was, it was a bomb. Yeah, it was a bomb.
That was a bomb. So, you know, definition.
That's a bomb.
So when I text you, how'd Ben play, and you say bomb, that's the expectation.
So it has to leave the park, in fact, to be a bomb.
Right.
How about this? So yesterday they have a playoff game. This is unbelievable.
Playoffs already?
Yeah. Season's very quick.
How many games did they play?
20.
Okay.
Now they're into the postseason, right? They're playing, winning 5-1. Umpires are terrible. Pitch crushed. crushed straight away center field, bounces over the wall. Umpires, home run.
No.
Home run.
Come on.
They gave him a home run. Our team that hit it.
But the other manager had to be crazy.
He went crazy. I was actually embarrassed. There was
two
umpires.
And both of them thought it was a home run.
Home run.
This was in center field?
Center field.
What was the center fielder doing? Like going crazy?
No, it wasn't going crazy.
Why?
It was bizarre. And then every parent was like, didn't that bounce? Like, yeah, it bounced.
That's wild.
It was
in a playoff game.
Terrible. They won 6-1. That made it 6-1. It was 5-1, made it 6-1. But I even said to the other parents, I was like, what happens if it's a 1-1 game?
Right.
Terrible.
Yeah, you never know.
Terrible. Oof, bad.
That's not great.
Really bad.
It's a bad look for the ump.
Really, really bad. So, couple things on the Jets. I don't know if you saw this. Based on the... This is a lot for you. Based on the 2022 record of the opponents, the Jets have the hardest schedule in the NFL from weeks 1 through 12.
1 through 12.
Of this coming season.
Yeah.
It is a gauntlet of games.
It's going to be... it's going to be a tough early stretch. So the fact that Aaron's, been around the teammates and everything else, he knows Nathaniel Hackett's system, it's going to be important for them to get off to a good start. And I told you, I love the fact that the bye comes in week 7.
Right before the Giants game.
Right.
Right
before we smack you around.
But so stop me when I get to a game that you're like, that's a win.
Okay.
Okay? Home to the Bills.
It's going to be a tough one.
At the Cowboys.
Another tough one.
Home to the Patriots.
Win.
So that's a win.
Yeah, listen, I know the Patriots have owned you, but you have a quarterback now. You got a great defense. There's some questions as to what Mac Jones is going to look like.
Okay, all right. So you're good. You want Patriots, fine. Home to the Chiefs.
It's a tough one.
At the Broncos.
Another tough one.
Home to the Eagles.
Another tough one.
At the Giants.
I would say a win.
You look at that and that's...
Yeah, not a guaranteed win. You got a good chance.
But, how many Houston Texans?
Later in the season.
Home to the Chargers.
It's another tough one.
At the Raiders.
I would say that's a win.
At the Bills.
Another tough one.
Home to the Dolphins.
I think it has to be a win.
It has to be. So we just went through the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games.
Well, RJ, how many games? Do they have all the odds for all these games?
Yeah, like the spreads for the games.
Yeah. So what are the spreads? How many games are the Giants, the Jets favored?
Now, you get upset with me when I say who's pitching for the Mariners tomorrow, and you want the guy to have the spreads for the first 11 games just ready to go?
No, not ready to go. As you keep going, he'll be doing that.
RJ, is that something you feel comfortable looking up? Jets spreads first 11 games of the season.
I will begin the process now. I will say that's the equivalent of saying, like, what was Ben Franklin's Social Security number off the top of your head?
The stupid questions I ask pale in comparison to that, right?
I mean, it's right in line with what happened yesterday. I mean, you go away for a day, and all of a sudden you end up in the trash can in a Cuddle Mary trash.
Wait.
Maybe this is your opportunity to get out of the can, though.
Who trashed you, Oscar? Who trashed you?
Rick did.
Okay. So don't lump us together.
Most likely to fit in the trash can of the three of you.
Well, I think that's obvious.
Okay.
I mean, RJ is the littlest guy.
I'm just being practical.
Let's just call it
trash anybody.
Let's call it what it is. Dave's not here tomorrow. He's in the trash can. Ray's not here tomorrow. He's in the trash can.
Exactly.
So you're saying he's prisoner of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. So out of sight, out of mind.
I was out of sight and I was out of...
Not mine. I mentioned you numerous times yesterday. I missed you. That Tom Bauer, he's not great.
You were taking shots the entire time.
Why would you say that?
Well, what do you mean?
Why would you say not great? I disagree.
You know what? Because you're great and he's not you. Ipso facto, he's not great.
See, you go the other way. Rick will just find the softest landing spot. You look for... You look for out of loyalty, but you look for problems.
I can find this is what I do when the Giants play these teams. I find hatred in these other teams. So when you're not here, I miss you. I find things that I don't like about whoever's replacing you.
Why are you comparing him to teams that you hate, though?
What?
You're comparing him to teams that you hate.
Because I love RJ. So if it's not RJ, it's a team I don't like.
I don't think you have to go after Bauer, though.
No, he's fine. He has large friends, though.
Yeah, I don't want him coming after me.
Could you imagine RJ getting pummeled by seven footers?
I already found him. How about that?
You found the spread?
Yeah, I found him already.
Great
RJ. I've been looking at him for like 5 minutes.
But... Relax, would you please?
Can I guess them?
Yeah, let's go. Week one.
Week one, I'm going to say, I think I know this one. I think it's like Bills by 1.5.
Bills 1.5, correct.
At the Cowboys, I'm going to say Cowboys are favored by 3.
Cowboys minus 1.
Minus 1. Yep. Okay. Hosting the Patriots. I'm going to say Jets are favored by 7.
3.5.
Really?
Yep.
So you're telling me Patriots, Jets, neutral field, pick them.
Belichick factor.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
Well, and the fact that they've owned you.
Chiefs.
Same thing.
Boy, I got to tell you, boy, I would bet that game right now. No? Jets minus 3.5 against New England?
Yeah, I'm not going to bet it.
Okay, you should.
Because I'm not a degenerate like you.
Well, maybe you should. Get in the early action.
I don't trust you enough your Maple Leafs take.
All right. Chiefs at Jets. I'm going to say Chiefs by 3.
1.
Wow. These spreads are confounding. All right. At the Broncos. Pick them.
Jets minus 1.
Oh, so I'm right there.
Yeah, close.
Eagles at the Jets. Eagles by 2.
Jets minus 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Jets at Giants. There's Giants home game, but do you get the full 3?
No.
Probably not. I'll say Jets by 3.
Jets by 1.5.
Okay. And then Chargers at the Jets. Jets by 3.
Jets by 2.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, so then you get the Raiders, the Jets are favorite in that game. Bills in week 11.
There's no way you're favorite against the Bills.
At home against the Dolphins, you're favored. Falcons at home, favored.
Texans favored. At Miami?
Dolphins by 1.5. Commanders, you're favored. At the Browns, you're favored. And at the Patriots, you're favored in week 18.
Wow. Well, I mean, a lot can change. So you're telling me of all the games we just went through, the Jets are favored in almost every one of them? Or right there? They're not a bigger underdog than by... like a point.
They're favored in 3 of the first 6 games.
And they're favored by how many? New England's 3.5.
3.5, 4.5, and then 5.5. Total of 5.5. 1 to the Broncos, 1 to the Eagles, and 3.5 to the Patriots.
I can't believe they're favored over the Eagles. Home field really it's a huge factor, isn't it?
I think also, too, I mean, you have to imagine as we get further along, everyone stays healthy, obviously, that it'll get better as the season progresses.
Yeah, I mean, if you go out there and you play good football, you're going to be heavier than a 1-point underdog. You know, you'll be a favorite over the Cowboys, I would think.
But that's why I did not necessarily like having the first game. And I know it's an awesome matchup, and it's Monday Night Football and all that stuff. But, I mean, you're trying to win the division. And it's your home game against the Bills, and it's week 1. Knowing that it's a new quarterback, it's a new system. And I know he knows the system, but everyone else has to get on the same page too. And it wasn't like Tampa with Brady the other one, the Super Bowl came flying out of the gate. It took them a minute.
No, it took them a while. But were they home until they were on the road for the NFC Championship game? Was it just the 1 road game?
Tampa?
Yeah.
I would have to go back and look.
Did they win the division?
Yeah, they won the division. All right. But it was after the... Did they win the division or New Orleans won the division?
I don't remember.
It was after the bye is when they...
As they start to pick it up.
I don't think they lost after the bye.
I guess what I'm saying, like, if you... like, okay. If you don't win that, do you look and say, we're going to win in Buffalo?
No, but that's why week 1 is so important.
Right. So you need to win week... I mean, you need to win that game. Really, you need to win that game if you're the Jets.
If you want to win the division... Yeah, I mean, that's...
And if you don't win the division and you are the sixth seed, do you realistically see the Jets going on the road and winning 3 games? Like, you're going to go into Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Kansas City to win those games.
New Orleans won the division.
New Orleans won the division.
I was right, yeah.
So what'd they do in the postseason that year? Do you have that in front of you?
New Orleans was 12-4. The Bucks were 11-5.
So they must have done a lot on the road that year.
Yeah. So that season... 2020,
So that's 2020. So that's the no fans in the that's different too.
Yeah, that's different too. But I mean, wild card, they were at Washington. No, they won all road games. They were at Washington, at New Orleans, at Green Bay, and then they beat Kansas City in the Super Bowl.
Well, you know what? That was done once. I don't know if that can be duplicated. I'm just saying. I don't think if you're the Jets, you can go 10-7.
Though, guess who they opened up with and lost?
The Bills.
No, they opened up with New Orleans and lost.
They lost twice that year.
Yeah.
And then beat them in the postseason.
Beat them in the postseason. But similar thing. I mean, they're competing with New Orleans to win the division.
Correct.
Week 1.
But just because there's an example of how it played out.
No, I know.
Doesn't mean that that's how you need it to play out.
But I've said this the entire time. You can't use that as an example. That's
right. That to me is the outlier. That's not the norm.
It's not supposed to work that way. But there was a clear difference between the team pre-bye and post-bye.
Correct.
Right. As soon as they, I mean, as soon as they hit that bye, all of a sudden, I mean, they win four straight and then run through the playoffs.
So bye is after the Eagles, right?
Yeah. So week seven.
So you played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. Okay. So if I offered you right now 3-3,
done.
You'd take 3-3 through six. I would tell you right now. I think the Jets fans would disagree with you.
I think I had, but I had him 12-3, and I think I had him 12-5. 12-5, and right. I had him 3-3 in the first six games.
Well, if you give him 12-5, that'd be a great season. But if you're 3-3 after six, I don't think Jets fans right now would take 3-3 after six.
I think you're crazy.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't think they would sign on for that.
I think those people are crazy.
RJ, if you were a Jets fan, I know you're not. We know. Did you hear he had sexy dreams about the Niners?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not sexy dreams.
It was an unsafe. Well, yeah.
But
we thought you'd be having sexy dreams. Instead, you were having dreams about the Niners.
The guy wakes up in a cold sweat thinking to himself that Kyle Shanahan was fired.
It was not good.
It's a scary dream.
Can you imagine that?
It made no sense.
Your eyes open. You're in a foreign state, and you open your eyes. You're like, Shanahan's gone.
Well, I check my phone. I go, how are there not alerts about this? Why is no coverage?
How long did this last for?
It probably like 8 seconds, but it felt like eight.
Terrifying, though, right?
It was horrible.
It's like that day that I woke up and I thought that I missed the show. I thought I overslept because I took a nap after the show. I woke up from the nap and I had that like 8 second brief.
Oh,
like,
God.
I missed the show. And in that moment, I went through all the machinations of it's Hurley's fault. I never missed the show. I'm such a good soldier. How dare they do this to me?
But you're in the process of asking what? Would I sign up for 3-3?
If you were a Jets fan, diehard Jets fan, would you sign up for 3-3 through six games?
I think I would.
Wow.
I think I would.
Wow. I would.
Well, you got to think it's going to get better. The schedule's going to get easier. I mean, what? Weeks 13 through 18, you play one.
You're at the Bills, you're at the Giants, you host the Chargers, you're at the Raiders.
No, weeks 13 through 18. Once you get through the stretch we were talking about, 13 through 18,
your Falcons should be a win. Yeah, Texans should be a win. Team. At the Dolphins is not easy. Commanders should be a win. At the Browns is, I think it's a tough game. And at the Patriots.
Easier.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, it is 3-3 for the people that think this team's going to win 14 games. No, you wouldn't sign up for 3-3. But again, I mean, don't be delusional with how this is going to be early on.
I think you're going to get a lot of delusion.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
So the bananas. And I went through the bananas at the fruit stand this morning. RJ opened his banana. Brown spot.
Yeah, it's not great.
I'm so upset.
Yep. I inspected them.
And I talked to Gladimir about this morning. I said, Gladimir, I said, are these going to be good? And he's like, oh, beautiful. Look at these bananas.
Maybe they're bruised in transit. Did you accidentally squeeze the banana too tight?
No.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Ira, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Do you think my banana is not okay?
I think it's just fine.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I got big news.
Big news. What is it?
Breaking huge news. U.S. soccer. Arsenal star Filarin Balogun has decided to represent the U.S. men's national team. He'll switch allegiance to the USA.
Nice.
Yeah.
Big time.
Big stuff.
Big news. Jazz hands.
You think his name, RJ, you're soccer. You would be the soccer guy on the show. Is it Balogun? Balogun?
I actually don't know. I've actually only seen it in print.
So, well, I'll go with Balogun. Balogun took his time, but the decision has been made. It's official. No England, USA.
Let's go.
And on the heels of that, guess who has a lunch with Andrew Gunling today?
You.
That's right.
You should ask him.
Well, the news just happened.
Well, text him.
Find out.
Text him about Balogun and see what he says. Well, how's a soccer podcast?
How's he going to pronounce it in text to me?
All of this is everything.
He'll do it phonetically.
You know what? That whole dog and pony show is just to bring up that Dave has a lunch
right.
manager. Let's just cut right
sit
to
outside
it.
No, this is big news. Fabrizio Romano has this breaking news.
Well, hey there.
Tell me about Belugin.
I don't know anything about it. I never heard of him. It's not big news to me, but to the soccer community, this is big stuff.
I try every day.
I got a big time soccer podcast.
I'll go right to Tommy Smith.
Text somebody. Do something. Bring something to the show.
Okay. All right.
What do you know about Belugin?
He's going to think I'm talking about a whale.
Do I look good in this suit, huh? I mean, come on. How good do I look in this suit? Oh, and Pele?
You tell
Ronaldo, and David Vanoli, huh?
No, not a boat. How do you pronounce?
Can I start with an introductory? What can you tell me about Belugin? Question mark.
Why not call Gundling now?
Changes it to analog.
Okay, well, call Gundling right now.
Internally, I'm a disaster.
He'll answer. Just ask him.
Are we allowed to have him on? He doesn't work at ESPN anymore.
God hates me.
Yeah, now I hate you.
He's literally been on the K-Show since.
Yeah, right. Say Belugin or Belugin. That's it. Hang up.
What happens if it's neither?
Then you're an idiot.
Drop a call.
Oh, I have a voice text from Ryan Hurley. He probably...
Maybe he has it.
A pronouncer.
It's Balogun.
Balogun.
It's not close. Belugin.
Yeah, how do you get Belugin?
Did I get Falarin right?
Sure.
Let's see what Ryan says.
You're so bad at this. No, that's a person. He's not Belugin.
Huh?
That wasn't a Belugin voice note.
No, it wasn't.
No, it's not
about Belugin at all. God. You know, but now it's going to ring true. Every time you watch Belugin play, you'll be like, that's Belugin.
I don't even know what his name is now.
Balogun.
Balogun.
We are professionals.
Yes.
He's a professional.
Well, you didn't know who he was either.
I knew who he was. I didn't want to give you an improper pronunciation.
Falarin Balogun.
Balogun.
Like toboggan. You know, you're the one that brought it to my attention. You're like, oh, big news, this guy.
And you had no idea who it was.
I still don't know. I still don't know who he is.
Who know everybody, throwing out David Vanoli like you're something to be proud of.
David Vanoli, he was a beach soccer legend.
Yeah.
David Vanoli back in the day. You don't know David Vanoli.
Yeah, I do.
Vanoli. You never heard of
Vanoli. I used to pretend to be him on the beach.
He was enormous. You thought you were 275 pounds on the beach?
No, I wasn't that big.
This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. All right.
I hit the beach from two people, Vanoli or Karai. That's it.
Karch Karai.
Right.
Spell Karai.
I don't know how to spell it.
K-R-I-A-L-Y. Karai.
Okay.
There's an L, but it's silence. Because many people would look at that name and think Karali. Not me.
Not you.
I look at it, I say, right. That's Karai.
It's Karai.
You know who else? Steve Timmons. You know Steve Timmons?
No.
It's spiky hair.
No.
He was married to...
Who was Karai's partner?
Steve Timmons.
Oh, that was Timmons.
Yes.
Yeah, but Karai was the guy.
Karch Karai.
Yeah.
Steve Timmons. Elite beach volleyballers. Mets stink.
Mets stink bad. Yeah.
We have a major problem on our hands.
I'm starting to get a little concerned. Peterson is not the answer. That's clear. Offense, I mean, you had the one inning, but I mean, more importantly, you had this 13-game stretch where you figured you could take advantage of some pretty average teams, and you went 4-9.
Which is disgusting.
That's not good. And then you make mistakes.
And you look dreadful.
Well, that's the problem,
too. It's bad. Like, you watch it, it's bad baseball.
Right, it's not good. I mean, and you have your margin for error right now because, I mean, your lineup isn't doing what you expected it to do, and you don't have a bunch of guys in your lineup that hit a bunch of home runs. Right, I mean, you've gone 52 innings without a home run,
which is amazing.
I mean, you watch what the Yankees are doing here in May. They lead Major League Baseball in home runs. You haven't hit one in 52 innings.
So that's six games,
right? So you have and you're not getting good starting pitching. Peterson wasn't good, giving up runs. I mean, they scored a run in every inning but the second.
Well, you wonder why you're hemorrhaging. You wonder why you're two games under 500. You wonder why Miami has a better record than you.
Well, you get behind early, which what happens if your offense is struggling. You get behind early. Now you're pressing. Right? I mean, which is not conducive to hitting. You got to go station to station. You can't afford to make mistakes
did yesterday. I know all the things. We've been over it a million times. Is this going to change?
I don't think that... tell me what you're asking me. I don't think David Peterson all of a sudden is going to be good.
You got to get Peterson out of the rotation.
Well, they sent him down and said, you have to pitch better, and he hasn't pitched better, so.
His ERA is awful.
Right, he has better
options. He doesn't keep you in games, so that's also a problem. That David Peterson is the best option you have right now?
Well, you have no Quintana.
Right.
You have no Carrasco.
Okay.
So,
but it's not like when Carrasco was pitching, he was doing well. He was terrible.
No, right. But, I mean, he'll be back. So, I mean, I hope he's a better option. You got Verlander on the mound tonight. You're going to need him to do what an ace should do.
It just feels like there's a lot of excuses when it comes to the Mets. Well, it's still so early, and they're not hitting for power yet, and the rotation's not right. I don't mean you. I mean just like this. I think there's a real problem here.
And you're probably not wrong, but I think you're searching for reasons as to why this is. It looks the way it looks, and why this team is two games under 500 with the amount of money that they spent. Guys that you saw produce at a high level last year that just haven't given that same kind of production.
You want to hear from Buck Showalter?
Not really, but yeah, I guess.
All right, 1-800-919-3776. Here's the question for Mets fans, for baseball fans in general: are the Mets in trouble? I mean, you're 42 games in, you're two games below 500, you've gotten beaten up by awful baseball teams. Are the Mets in trouble? Here's Buck Showalter. What problems are you seeing from your offense right now?
I watch it, and our guys, it's a lot of, they hit a lot of extra base hits today, and we didn't, but we're capable of it. And we're not, it's a bad combo right now that we're not pitching well as we can, and we're getting our hits. Well, they have three or four more hits than we did at the most, but, I think Alvy was the only guy that walked today, right? I think he had a couple, but there's a lot of parts of it we have to put together. It's not just one thing, but that is something that I understand people, it jumps out at them. But I'm more about how we, scoring runs, and there's other ways to do it. We had a couple situations today we could climb right back in there. Pickoff hurt us, but hopefully that's something he'll learn from, young player, and it won't happen again. I could hear Kirby hollering back as the pitcher's going to the plate.
It's always something, though, and that's the thing. And I love Buck. I think he's a terrific manager, but there's a lot of excuses built in here with the Mets, right? They only had a couple more hits than us. They had seven more runs in you, Buck. Seven.
Well, that's the big thing, right?
Right.
It doesn't. I mean, we're not keeping count of how many hits you got. Team that has the most hits wins. This team scores the most runs, and they scored runs in every inning but the second, which is a problem for a team that's having a hard time generating offense. We're getting the big hits, and then you get picked off at first with the bases loaded, which is unacceptable.
Right. So you got picked off first with the bases loaded. The other day, you had the tying run to the plate, and you sent Brandon Nimmo. Like, it's always something. Things are always happening negatively for this team right now.
And a couple bad defensive plays yesterday, right? I mean, the ball Alvarez throws to second gets through McNeil. It wasn't a great throw, but, I mean, one you'd like, hopefully, McNeil to stop. That ends up in a run. Then Marte and Nimmo in right field have a miscommunication. It looked like Marte pulled back so Nimmo could take the ball. It drops. That's a triple. Leads to a run. Like, you can't afford to make mistakes like that when you're not scoring runs.
That's right.
And you're not getting great starting pitching, which is going to be a problem ultimately, because if you're not getting great starting pitching and they're not giving you the length you need, it's going to start taking a toll on your bullpen.
Well, how are you going to get great? You hope Verlander is terrific tonight. That's vitally important, right? And then Senga, who was bad his last outing. Like, well, where are the guys? I mean, Scherzer, he was good, but he's a question mark right now. And then you turn to what? To Lucchese and Peterson at the moment?
McGill?
I mean,
well, I think Peterson's, I think that's...
He's done, right. So
that ship is probably sailed.
But Joey Lucchese?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Lucchese's one of the only guys that's got you into the seventh.
It's amazing. It's a concern.
It's a big-time concern.
This could be a crappy baseball team.
And this team last year, I mean, the way they scored runs, I mean, they were fifth in Major League Baseball last year in runs, is they were second in Major League Baseball on average and second in on-base percentage. Right? And they were good with runners in scoring position.
So you don't really have a ton of speed on the team.
No.
You don't have...
Well, Marte.
A ton of speed.
Yep.
You don't have really any power on the team outside of Pete.
That's it.
So
you're relying on great starting pitching.
So you need hits. You need like three, four consecutive hits to drive runs.
You know
what was so frustrating for me the other day? It took the Mets every ounce of energy to get a run. And they tied the game at two, that first game. Tie it two. First batter, next inning, home run. It's like, we never get
Abrams.
That. You never get that.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and again, all you got to do is look at what the Yankees have been doing. I mean, the Yankees offense right now in May, I mean, the amount of home runs that they're hitting, runs they're scoring,
right.
I mean, it's tough sledding when you got to, I mean, I don't care who the team is you're playing against. You go up against good pitching. It's tough to string together enough hits.
Three, four hits in a row is what you need. And it's not even like there's a ton of speed where you're going to be going first to third all the time.
No.
If you get the wrong guy, it's single, single, now first and second, single, now bases loaded, and then you got to get him in? It's a lot of work.
It puts a lot of pressure up at the top of that lineup.
A lot of work.
Lindor and on Pete.
Let's go to, and Lindor has not had a good start to the season.
He's got the RBIs, though.
And the average?
Average is 224.
That, no good. Pierre Putnam. Hi, Pierre.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm gonna try my best here and not pull a Omar and lose it on the radio right now. But, Dave, I am 100% in agreement with you. This Mets team is in trouble. We got two 40-something-year-olds who have both shown injury concerns, and Scherzer looks like he's absolutely lost it. When you can get five innings from him, you got to celebrate that. You got a $350 million roster, and not one player on that roster is a top player in the MLB. How do you manage to do that? If I put a teenager putting together a fantasy baseball team, he'd do a better job than Epler did. There is nothing about this team that's going right. You guys already mentioned it. This stretch was supposed to be where we got fat. I imagine 10-3. If you would have told me we were at 4-9 against the dregs of the MLB, I would have said you're crazy. This team has been under a cover because of Nick Mania, and it's time to focus now on the worst $350 million team that's ever been put together. There's not one...
No, he kind of faded out there. But he's right. They got a respite because the Knicks and the Rangers were relevant. And now that they're not anymore, the Mets are going to be more of a focus. And if you play bad baseball, it's going to get a lot more conversation now.
Yeah, this is going to be the focus now. And we're going to talk about it today. And I'm sure we'll keep talking about it. I mean, it doesn't get any easier. You're playing Tampa now.
I was going to ask you who's after Tampa, but you might not know. And then you yell at me.
I think I did know this. I don't.
Okay.
I actually looked at it, and now I forget. But I was going to say to his point, like who on this team is for the $350 million that you're spending, who's considered one of the best in baseball? Pete Alonso's still second in Major League Baseball in home runs. So you still, still
Alonso's
have that.
Terrific.
Right.
Cleveland after Tampa.
And Lindor, Lindor and Pete are right there as far as, the RBI totals, but no,
But look at the averages of these guys.
Yeah, but Pete's not
Pete's not, but Lindor shouldn't be hitting 224.
No, they're not playing to the best of their abilities, and that's what that's what's
you
needed.
Go through the roster. I think Nimmo's been very good.
Yep.
Who hit second? I guess it's Lindor.
It was supposed to be Marte. Yeah,
right. Marte's been awful.
He's getting hits now.
For the season, he has not been good.
Right.
Lindor has not been what you expected. McNeil has not been what you expected. Pete home power certainly, but average wise has been dreadful. So it's time.
Yeah, it's time. But, those guys, your best players, have to play like the best players.
What, he shut out 7 times so far this season?
7.
That's disgusting.
Total 8 last year.
You can't, not okay.
Well, no. I mean, they went in the stretch where they were winning every series and everything else. I mean, you're talking about last 7 series. They're 0-5-2 in the last 7 series.
Not okay. Bobby Saratoga. Good morning, Bob. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. Big shout out to the company. I'm from Saratoga. Right now I'm calling from Carolina Beach.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Beautiful.
So, and I wanted to say to those guys that are always calling in when they're going on their runs and stuff, I don't normally get to do that. It's really cool to get to listen to you guys on a run.
Thank you. Enjoy your run.
Yes.
Thank you. And I just wanted to talk about the whole Aaron Judge situation and bring up the fact that he could have been, I don't know the situation with everything. It could have been the tipping the pitches and stuff like that. But it could have been him trying to pick up some sort of sign that normally maybe he would get down from third base. But in
so
that
you think they're giving him signs from the dugout of like we're hitting running here or something
with
like
no
that.
One on base?
Well, yeah. No, not necessarily. I'm saying it could be anything. It could be any sort of adjustment, any scouting report, something like that that maybe he's in this situation, he throws this pitch, something like that. Or he's thrown 5 sliders in a row. Look out for that again. Something like that.
And just by peering out of the corner of his eye, he's going to pick up that kind of information.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I don't think you were great today.
Really?
I thought I was... I mean, the amount of balls juggling.
RJ? Yeah. Be honest now.
Why are you asking RJ?
Because I'm going to ask RJ. Because I don't want you to tip your hand. You work to the side. Who do you think, in your mind, who's been better today, me or Rick?
Lauren Balugan.
Mm. See, I want to say Rick.
But you can't.
But he's been so mean to me.
Yeah, but don't let feelings get in the way here. Just be objective.
So you believe he's been better during the show than I have?
Well, he cut up the pineapple.
That's not... No, come on.
And did CMT at the same time.
I brought the pineapple. Not for me. You wouldn't even have that pineapple.
You tried to kill me with a banana.
Sticky. What are we going to do? Chew through the
outer
layer?
You don't get credit for being better during the show because you cut up a pineapple.
My banana was elite, by the way.
These are intangibles.
Come on. Who's been better on the show?
I'll
Valarin Balugan.
Against my better judgment, I'll stick with Rick.
Yes. Yes.
You've always been very mean to me.
1-0.
Have you heard from Andrew?
Nope.
Who? Gunling?
We didn't text him.
I didn't text him.
We got
the Balugan pronunciation.
Valarin Balugan.
Yeah. You see the story about Stetson Bennett yet?
He didn't graduate college?
Yeah.
He was there for like Wilder. 7 years.
Seven. Right.
How could you not graduate college in 7 years?
Betson Stennett.
He's having fun.
For 7 years? What's he doing?
To the point where Cardell Jones tweeted, Buddy definitely wasn't playing school.
How many credits shy of a degree do you think he got?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you like to know that, though?
I would.
Yeah. Like, how far along did you make it in the process?
Yeah, but he ended up getting drafted. I mean, isn't
the goal to... I mean, 7 years?
I don't know. Was the goal to go to college and get a degree or win...
multiple national championships?
And get drafted. But he
you know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dr. Bennett.
Right.
All right. 1-800-919-3776. You want to hear Nick Friedell? He's good.
I do like Nick Friedell, yeah.
He says the Knicks need a star player.
The issue is they still need a star. This Knicks team in the front office with Leon Rose, they've got to look at all the options. And as far as the next disgruntled star out there, you figure the Knicks are at the top of the list. But who that is and how much they'd have to give up to get remains to be seen.
I don't think he's breaking, you know, any kind of news. The Knicks need a star player.
Do they?
Yes. Yes.
Do the Miami Brunson outside of Jimmy Butler, I mean, is Brunson, how much better is Jimmy Butler than Jalen Brunson? How much?
I think he's better.
How much better?
I think he's considerably better. I love Brunson, but I need a star to go
along.
Who
was better in the series?
But who needed to be better in the series?
It doesn't matter. Who was better? I'm asking you a question.
Brunson.
Okay, so, I mean, is it that they don't...
But who won the series?
Right, I know Miami did, but I'm saying the Miami, the team that you're trying to be, they're just better than you at... I mean, they're better than you now. I mean, they have Jimmy Butler. Bam's a really good player. Is it that they need a star or they need better supporting pieces around Jalen Brunson?
I think they need a star.
That need to play up to their potential or their expectations.
I think both. Well, to get to where you want to get to, right? You don't want to go to back where you are. You want to win the whole thing, right? That's the ultimate goal. I think you need a star, and I think you need the Quickleys, the Grimeses of the world, the Toppins
okay,
to be better.
Okay, can you keep all those? I mean, to Nick Friedell's point, can you keep what you have?
Well, you got a million
probably
picks.
Not. No, you have picks, but they're going to want more than picks.
You got Mitchell Robinson that you could move on from. Julius Randle you could move on from.
I mean, and you're just assuming that the team that you're trading with wants, for their star, is going to want Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson.
Everybody tells me how great Julius Randle is. He's third team All-NBA.
Okay.
He's elite. He's
right.
Great. Yeah, I would think. I'm the one that doesn't like him. Everyone else seems to love this guy.
Now just tell me the star then. I feel like we have this conversation every single year.
Jaylen Brown. I'd like to get Jaylen Brown on
the
team.
You think the Celtics are going to part ways with Jaylen Brown?
Not with the Knicks. And I have to move on from Jaylen Brown, he's going out west.
Right. I mean, now does Jaylen Brown decide that he doesn't? I mean, it's kind of been weird with him lately. Some of like not taking shots, not being in, you know, not seeming happy in Boston. Does he force his way out?
Could.
Okay, well, even if he forces his way out, I mean, is there what does Boston want from us?
Boston's not trading Jaylen Brown
to
the Knicks anyway.
That's going to replace Jaylen Brown.
Even if I gave you a trade which made sense, there's no way Boston's trading him to the Knicks. There's no way. He's going to go out west. They're going to trade him to Phoenix or the Laker or who, God knows who, but not the Knicks.
Okay, so
is Dame Lillard someone that I make a play for?
I mean, it sounds the way that Stephen A. talks about it, that Dame would consider New York. I mean, do we have...
How big is my window, though? Because how old is Dame Lillard? 33? 34?
I think that's why Donovan Mitchell was so attractive.
I think Donovan Mitchell was very attractive, but that ship has now sailed. So now I have to think about the new guys.
Yeah.
I don't think he is. Is DeAndre Ayton what you consider to be a star? Okay.
New. You nuts? No.
I'm talking to you.
No. Deion, don't even know.
Because he's not going to be on Phoenix next year.
No. I do not want DeAndre Ayton.
I mean, is Giannis unhappy in Milwaukee? That would obviously be that'd be the one. That you'd go all in for.
Everyone would, though.
Of course they would. But he might want to go to the Knicks.
Yeah, but you're hearing more names like Karl Anthony Towns.
I don't love Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay, so, is Jokic? Is it not Jokic? Is Doncic? No. I mean, is Dallas going to trade Doncic?
I can't imagine they would.
And would the Knicks have? I mean, would the Knicks have? I mean, something.
I mean, take a,
outside
take,
of the picks.
Take everything. Take everything. I get Doncic. You can have all my picks. You can have all my secondary players. You can have Randall. You can have whatever you want.
Yeah, who was it? RJ, what was that trade? I forget who said it. I listened to it the other day. I think it was Anita's show. I think it might have been Anita's
Bobby
show.
Bob,
was it Bobby?
I have Bobby Marks. You want to hear
the Giannis?
No, I have Bobby Marks saying the Knicks have pieces to make some moves and shake things up. Here he is.
I think you've got a legitimate number one in Jalen Brunson. I mean, that guy, you know, we could talk about him for a long time here. But then who's your number two and who's your number three guy? And I can't say Julius Randle's a number two guy. The playoffs has proven it. The good thing is man, they've got, you know, they got 11 ones over the next 7 years. They got a lot of young players. Randle's under contract for 3 years. Barrett's extension starts. So if you want to go out and push a lot of this to the middle here, you can go out and be aggressive here. But we saw last year with Donovan Mitchell, you know, they were willing to kind of hold back on picks and some of the young players here, and we don't know yet who's going to be that next disgruntled player. Is it Karl Anthony Towns or Damian Lillard, one of those players here? So I think Randall still has value, probably not at an all-NBA value or an all-star value that he's perceived as right now, but are they comfortable being a 48-win team and getting to the second round? But the risk is when you start moving pieces around, you can go from 48 to 40 wins pretty quick.
Well, you don't want to do that. That's the wrong direction.
No, that's the wrong direction. You also, I mean, look what happened with Phoenix. And no one counted. I mean, I guess maybe you could have, because Chris Paul always seems to get hurt in the worst times.
Well, you didn't realize your point guard and your center wouldn't play in the most
right.
meaningful games
but you
of,
also,
of the series.
I mean, but you also recognize, too, when you traded Bridges and Cam Johnson, that defensively you're going to be way worse.
And you had zero depth.
Right.
Guys that, I mean, Cameron Payne was really relied on. Just didn't have enough depth.
Okay. So, I mean, if Kawhi plays the whole series and Paul George is healthy, do they get by the Clippers?
I don't know.
Probably, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. You're not wrong.
So again, I mean, but you run the risk. You trade all your depth.
Well,
for the star.
Well, first of all, a couple things. First,
Bobby Marks said, "Okay, I don't know exactly who the players were, but he said on Anita's show. I think they were talking about Giannis. In case Giannis is upset because Bud got fired. He doesn't like the new coach they hired.
Right.
He said five ones, and then it was five players he mentioned. I think it was like RJ, Mitchell Robinson, Grimes, Quickly. It was like five players and five ones.
Okay. You for Giannis?
For Giannis? But that's, I mean, that's what you're talking about.
So now
about.
I have Brunson and Giannis.
That's it.
And now you do realize that you do realize that every, you know, player around the NBA who's like older and looking for a team will want to go there.
Probably.
New York now becomes the epicenter of basketball.
Yeah, maybe.
You might be able to win a championship with just putting out Brunson and Giannis.
That's it.
Just 2-on-5.
Right, just 2-on-5.
Win the whole thing.
Yeah, because it worked for Phoenix. Just
no, but come on.
Booker and Durant.
So give me the five guys. RJ.
I don't know exactly the five guys
Robinson,
were.
Randall.
Quickly, Grimes.
So I keep Toppin.
No, I don't even think it was Randall. I think it was Toppin.
So I'm keeping Randall?
I think so. No, I think you probably have to get rid of Randall because of the money.
Move him somewhere else then.
Yeah, you have to get... The money had to move too. Yeah, but it was crazy. It was just... To hear him say that, you're like, and it made sense because you saw what Rudy Gobert went for.
Rudy Gobert went for 5-1s. Rudy Gobert.
What a bad deal.
They couldn't
deal.
Even win a playoff series.
What a bad deal that was.
That was one of the worst. Danny, I tell you what, Danny Ainge is a genius.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Because they were pretty good this year, and they moved on from Mitchell and Gobert. And now they have everybody's pick for the next God knows how long.
Yeah, because, I mean, he said to Leon Rose, we got a better deal. Leon's like, no, you don't.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.